This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. For decades, business leaders have found North Carolina a good place to locate. Last year alone, the state attracted 47 relocation or expansion projects that promised to bring more than 8,000 jobs and capital investments of nearly $1.5 billion to our state economy. But the state also lost some prospects. For instance, Toyota, Stone Brewing Company, and Remington Arms all chose to set up shop somewhere else. Jason DeBruin from the Triangle Business Journal recently put together a scorecard for North Carolina's economic development, and he joins us now. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
How are we doing? How did we do last year?
Well, you hit the nail on the head that we're actually doing not so great as maybe we thought we were. The jobs that we added totaled about 8,800, but the jobs that we lost totaled more than 16,000. So that's the aggregate of all the potential jobs, of all the projects, of companies that looked at North Carolina but decided to go elsewhere. Now, I should make a quick clarification. You know, it's not a zero-sum game, right? So a company is considering some sort of an expansion project or a headquarter relocation, and they might consider South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina. Let's say they're bringing 400 jobs. Well, if they choose North Carolina, that means they didn't choose both South Carolina and Georgia, and so they can both lay claim to the loss of, say, 400 jobs.
You could say, right? 49 states
exactly,
lost, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly right. But at the end of the day, these are definitely projects that that North Carolina strongly went after, you know, made a potential offer of, we'll give you some X number of tax incentives, but then that the company looked at the offer sheet and decided, no, we like the offer sheet of a different state better.
So we're going to do the scorecard. But again, the point of it is to look precisely at that. We make an effort. You put together a package. You make a deal. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. So you analyze that, say what works and what doesn't. So to begin the analysis of that, let's take a look at the winners, 47 projects. Give us an idea of what those involved and what it meant to the state, the ones that got here.
So the ones that we won, and maybe we'll stick specifically to some of the ones in the triangle because I think those might be the ones that we're most familiar with. You know, one was HCL, that technology company. They promised to bring some 1,200 jobs here, so that's a lot. We also have ones that are in the pharmaceutical industry. Say, for example, Patheon. They are a manufacturer of drugs, specialty pharmaceuticals and the like. And they're going to expand in Greenville in Pitt County, and they're going to bring about 488 jobs. You know, it's good to talk about all these jobs because one of the nice things about the way the Commerce Department does it is they really do make an effort to try to spread these across the state. So while on the total, yes, the big metro areas like Raleigh and Greensboro and the Triad, they do tend to draw a little bit more. What's nice is that, you know, seeing these jobs spread around some of the eastern parts of the state as well to try to spread around some of those jobs where the unemployment rate is a little bit higher.
All right. And what kind of jobs? Again, are they high-paying jobs, low-paying jobs?
You know, a lot of them are actually high-paying jobs. Consider something, you know, north of 50,000, 55,000, where you have highly skilled workers in manufacturing. I know a lot of times maybe we think about manufacturing as being jobs that maybe aren't so highly skilled. But in North Carolina, in fact, we have a lot of manufacturing and, say, technology. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of manufacturing and pharmaceuticals where, you know, a four-year degree is probably required. And some of the salaries are, you know, well into the 40s, 50s, or even $60,000 per year. So high-paying jobs. You know, we do have some of the lower-end ones as well. Just for an example, Advance Auto Parts is one of the companies that expanded here. Those probably aren't going to be as high on the list as some of the other ones. But we do sort of run the gamut to include high-paying jobs.
All right, let's look at the down the column, tried but failed. Some of the big ones.
Some of the big ones definitely include Toyota. You mentioned that one out the get. You know, Toyota was looking to expand its headquarters. They moved from the California area, and they were looking at a whole bunch of different areas. They ended up deciding to go to Texas, and that's where they're going to place something on the neighborhood of thousands of jobs and make a pretty big investment there. So that was one that we lost. You know, another one that we lost that's sort of interesting to me was the headquarters for the Tennis Association. They're looking to move away from, you know, the headquarters forever have been in New York, and of course that's where the U.S. Open is. That's one of the ones that was looking down here. They decided to go down into Florida. There was one small trend that emerged, and I want to be careful to not draw too many conclusions, but we do seem to see where companies are deciding sort of on a region. So there were a lot of companies that decided to go into South Carolina, into Georgia, and some into Tennessee, but also into Virginia. So really our direct neighbors. What that tells us is that at the end of the day, companies do sort of break it down into a region, and then once you become sort of a regional play, then that's when they make some of the more final decisions. You know, of course, I just mentioned Toyota being a big one. If Texas doesn't count, but you know, about half of the 23 projects that we lost did end up going into one of our very close neighbors.
So that brings us to really the point of all this: what wins and what succeeds and what doesn't. The state does make an effort. It courted these companies. Can you tell from the winners and losers what it is that makes a state or a company decide to choose this state?
You can, and let me maybe tick off a few things. The number one most important thing to any company that's looking to relocate is the availability of a workforce. So if you are a company X and you think that moving to a state you're not going to find the workforce, I don't care what tax incentives you get. I don't care what the climate is. I don't care what the road infrastructure is. I don't care what the school. It doesn't matter. None of that matters if you can't find people to work for you. So really the most important thing for any state, North Carolina included, to have is good training programs and good universities and just a highly trained, highly skilled, and available workforce. After that, it gets a little bit more on a sliding scale continuum. There are a host of factors that companies consider. That includes tax rate. That includes tax incentives. That includes road infrastructure. That includes flights that are available in and out of the airport. We'll use Toyota as a quick example. One of the things that they really liked about being in Texas was really just the ease of getting back to Japan and back to Texas, whereas from North Carolina, you might have a layover or two, extending the time in which executives take to get, back to home base. So there really are a number of factors that are sort of applicable after that number one most important thing being workforce.
All right, so you've got the workforce. And again, that varies from company to company. If you're going to build a headquarters, you've got most of that workforce, I assume. Those people are already working for you. You're going to move them, maybe a manufacturing plant. You're looking for local folks. So that suggests the variety of kinds of businesses and what their needs are. But let's get down to this business of taxes, tax incentives, and infrastructure. A very complicated mix, right? Low taxes. For a long time, we had had the highest taxes among the highest in the country, and yet businesses were moving here. But taxes are important. Taxes go to pay for the infrastructure that apparently attracts them, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are these incentives that come from tax money that attract businesses, right? The JDIG incentives. Right. Can you tell what mix of that is at stake in attracting a company?
It is really difficult to point objectively to one exact spot on the continuum and say this is exactly where we need to be. And that's precisely why it's, such a political football, because, politician A will say, well, I think we need to lower the tax rate and we need to have, incentives in place. But of course, politician B would argue, okay, well, if we're not collecting as much in taxes, then we can't invest as much into our universities or work training programs, and then we'll have a lesser workforce, ostensibly. So it really is tricky to point to one particular line item or one particular point on the continuum in order to determine what's best. I will tell you, though, that when you're talking about these major companies, you're talking about companies that are making profits on the order of tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars per year. So whenever you see that your tax rate is maybe, say, only 5.5% compared to 5%, or even a difference of, say, 0.25%, that really does make a big difference because of the amounts of dollars we're talking about. And as I'm sure you know and have been reporting, in 2014, the analysis that we did, our corporate tax rate in North Carolina was 6%, but that's actually going to be stepped down. It stepped down already this year. It's probably going to step down again next year and could be as low as 3% by 2017. It's actually looking pretty likely that that might happen based on our revenue projections. And what's interesting then is we would have the lowest corporate tax rate in our immediate area, and that could ostensibly make us a good bit more attractive, particularly for these companies that have a profit in the hundreds of millions of dollars, because they would end up saving so much money.
I wonder if that's in the area of a kind of a windfall attractiveness, in the sense that you have benefited by good education, K-12, good university, because you've had higher taxes. People mm-hmm. understand the value of public services, so they pay it. And then you cut the tax rate, so you've got them in place. They're not going to collapse overnight. Kind of a windfall that you may pay for downstream when you have to maybe cut your investment in public services.
Yeah, potentially. And so let's talk about the universities again in particular. You know, if we cannot continue to fund the universities at the level that we have been, that will mean that universities will have to rely more on tuition, which means that more of that cost falls on both the student and the parent, which ultimately means that students graduate with more debt. And we see this. This has definitely been true since the recession, that students newly into the workforce, new graduates, are making their decision on where they go to work less on where they actually want to work and maybe where they feel a calling, but more on where they can make more of a paycheck because mm-hmm. they're just suffocating in debt. So your point's well made that we could potentially face some consequences on down the line if, say, in 10 years we're graduating students that have double the debt. You know, for two reasons: A, just because they have more debt, but B, because they might look at North Carolina and say, "Hey, I'm from Virginia. Why don't I just go to a school in Virginia? Then I'm already in Virginia. Maybe I'll just go ahead and stay here." So it can serve as a deterrent for new students.
And they'll demand higher wages, which is not what a new business right. wants in the state. Jason DeBruin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Jason DeBruin, a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. He recently took a look at the state's win-loss record for economic development. And you can find a link to Jason's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, some untold stories of the American Revolution. You'll hear them on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.